Thank you, Mary. Very beautiful song and very much fitting to this Sunday theme on Transfiguration. Transfiguration, where heaven and earth meet. And I believe some of you are still working on the whole concept of Transfiguration. Maybe tradition where you've been worshiping earlier didn't emphasize Transfiguration too much. And as a Bible story, you are fairly familiar to it. But to put emphasis on this event, you are probably not very accustomed to doing it. Yes, Transfiguration up on the mountaintop is one of the most fascinating piece of narratives in the whole Bible. It truly is, even mentioning about the meaning of it. In today's gospel, according to Matthew tells about Transfiguration that reveals Jesus' divine glory to three disciples who represent the leadership of 12 disciples. The three were Peter, John, and James. They were invited by Jesus to go on the mountain to see something, to witness something they have never seen before. To witness something that was going to be part of Jesus' journey and ministry here on the earth. Supported and confirmed by his Heavenly Father. So through them, through these disciples, Jesus reveals his Transfiguration to us all this morning. Transfiguration, I mean, his glory and his power. His divine nature to come to us. So what is this unbelievable event all about? Where the Bible says that Jesus' appearance changed into something so bright and something so glorious that it made his disciples just about speechless. They were terrified, not talking about confused. Just put yourself in their place and try to see how would you react upon witnessing something that magnitude. Now this moment, this Transfiguration was to confirm Jesus' identity as the beloved Son of God before his crucifixion. Jesus was transfigured with radiant light, and Matthew reports that Jesus was having conversation with Moses and Elijah. Can you picture that? These Old Testament saints who had been gone for a long time, they were brought back to that scene to have conversation with Jesus. About what? I would say that they were talking about Jesus' earthly ministry and how he was going to complete it. Moses, who was a forerunner to Jesus and for Jesus, and so was Elijah. And they were having conversation about what is going to happen. Then Matthew tells us that they heard God himself, the Father, commanding the audience. First confirming that Jesus is his dearly beloved Son. And then giving an assignment, commandment, listen to him, listen to Jesus, listen to my Son. Before this took place, before Jesus calls them, his disciples, to descend and follow him down back from the mountain. Now, talking about being brought before the full divine glory all of a sudden, to witness the Transfiguration of Jesus, that was something beyond words for these three disciples. But some of you may be wondering, as you are reading this from Matthew, that wait a minute, I keep on reading this narrative through again and again and again, but I didn't see that Matthew was at the present. So there is Peter and there is John and there is James that, you know, Matthew is acting like an eyewitness to this. So how in the world Matthew was recording this fascinating, terrifying event? He wasn't there. He wasn't there. Well, listen to this. He had eyewitnesses' testimony about this event. He sure had. The event was witnessed by Peter and James and John, and Matthew had direct access to these witnesses who would have shared this defining moment with Matthew, okay? That's one explanation, am I right? How about apostolic tradition? We call it oral history of the Bible. The story was likely a well-known account among the original disciples, these 12, forming part of the oral tradition that Matthew, as an author of a gospel of his name, by going by his name, would have documented. That would be another source for Matthew. How about Matthew used Mark as a source? Another gospel writer. Mark's gospel is the oldest one and the shortest one. And the synoptics were using Mark's sources as they were writing their narrative about the events that took place around Jesus and with Jesus. So Matthew used Mark as a source. Now, most Bible scholars believe that Matthew used the Gospel of Mark as a primary source for his own gospel, which includes now this account of transfiguration of Jesus. That makes sense, am I right? But lastly, but not leastly, there is such a thing that divine revelation, divine inspiration. What do we mean by this? Referring to the Holy Spirit guiding and leading these Bible writers as they were recording the events around Jesus. Now, within Christian theology, the recording of such events as this is understood as inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Bible confirms that none of these writers wrote anything in the Bible on their own, by their own imagination. There's lots of literature and books around, even Christian or religions book, that people who wrote those books were acting upon themselves, all by themselves. Holy Spirit were leading and guiding Matthew. This enabling that the writer, in this case Matthew, to accurately record necessary details on Jesus' life and divine nature. So, first here, witnessing a glimpse of divine glory took place at Jesus' transfiguration. It's divine glory. Let me ask you this. Do you have moments like this or something close? I don't want to say that, have you been witnessing transfiguration? Not this magnitude, no, but something in your private life, your Christian journey, that you were brought into a place where God's presence and His glory just about made you speechless. You were witnessing so powerful, so bright, so wonderful that you hesitated to ever leave that place. So powerful it was. Now, Jesus, who appeared as an ordinary man, remember his birth at Bethlehem. If anything can be ordinary for the Son of God, and the place, anything so ordinary than Bethlehem was, that was talking about ordinary place. That was ordinary place for the Son of Man to be born. This moment of transfiguration reveals Jesus' nature as God. Not just a teacher or prophet, not just a kind man who loved everybody, but it was made clear that Jesus is divine and God himself. It is breaking through his valley, veiled humanity. This moment, this transfiguration, serves as a preview of his resurrection and glory and divine authority that disciples will be witnessing later. Then we hear God the Father saying, not just what you see, disciples, but you must listen to him. This is my dearly beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to Christ. Listen to Jesus. So the Father's voice from the cloud specifically commands the disciples to obey Jesus. What is this to us? 2,000 years afterwards. What we need to learn about this? Listen to Jesus. Berea United Methodist Church, listen to Jesus. Listen to Christ's word. Obey him. Follow him in anything you do. This is the Father's point to elevate Jesus' words above Moses and Elijah. These two remarkable saints in the Old Testament were serving in their classification before Almighty. Jesus says, "This is my son." Beyond these two, he is now the one you must listen. Again, what is this to us? What does it mean to us? It means that we are to follow Jesus' word. If you are calling yourself disciple, you better stick with the word. Amen on that? You better stick with the word. You got to follow the word. He is the word, and his word is the authority to us, and we all need to surrender before this word. There's no other way, friends. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Secondly, disciples follow Jesus from mountain to mission for the transformation of the world. When you read this narrative, when you read this story, it's just... You try to put yourself in their place, talking about these disciples. And the huge amount of confusion and excitement, and it was kind of a big roller coaster. And I don't think Jesus had to invite them too many times after this experience, say, "Well, guys, it's time to follow now." The experience on the mountain was amazing spiritual experience. But guess what? It was temporary. Like all the spiritual experiences are temporary. Whatever they are temporary. And we ought to have those mountaintop experiences. I sent an Agape letter, support letter, to one of my confirmation, hate to put it this way, confirmation kids, went through confirmation here, and he's now attending Chrysalis Walk with several of his peers, and I sent him a note, and I said, "David, I am so thankful for you. I'm so proud of you. You follow and you keep on following Jesus in Jesus' footsteps. You are seeking, experiencing his face, and I'm so happy for you." Peter, about that experience, got so excited that he wanted just to stay there for the rest of his life. Probably you and I would make the same choice. Come on, guys. Being in the presence of Jesus and Almighty God and Moses and Elijah was there. It can't get much better than that. And he says, Peter says, "Lord, it is so good to be here." I bet he was so confused. He didn't say what to say. He didn't know what to say, but he spelled it out pretty good. "It's so good to be here. It's wonderful. I feel all the blessings. I see the glory of Jesus. I see all the saints here, these saints here. Father, I hear your voice. It can't get better than this. We got everything here. We have Moses. Wow. And then we have Elijah. Oh, I have heard about his golden chariots. By the way, have you seen Moses' graveyard or Elijah's graveyard? If you go to Holy Land, that will be an assignment for you. Try to figure out where their graveyards are. You don't find them because God took them straight to heaven. No funeral services, no burials. Straight to the paradise. So Peter said, why can't we just build three shelters, three memorials? Of course, Jesus, one for you, and Moses, hey, one for you, and Elijah, one for you. So we got it all in place, and we just stay here, and we don't go anywhere. This is just the place to be. And these are moments, friends, to us, when we are experiencing wonderful blessings. Maybe it was your prayer meeting with somebody that you always want to pray, or maybe it was one of these services, maybe it was a singing thing, you were singing together and praying, and whatever it was, maybe you were by yourself, finally by myself, and I had my moment there, I had my Bible there, and I just felt his presence all of a sudden. But Jesus was determined to lead his disciples back down into the world of suffering, struggle, darkness, and mission, knowing what was waiting for him down there. So the glory of the transfiguration directly supports the necessity of the cross. We need to finish the job. It proves that suffering is not the final end. Friends, if you are suffering now for a reason or two, that's not the final end. There's glory waiting for you, as it was for Jesus. And then finally, Jesus say, let's get up and let's not be afraid. How many of time you have heard Jesus saying, don't be afraid? Maybe some of you are need to hear that from Jesus because you are afraid. I don't know what your fears are all about. Everybody sometimes are dealing. We all are dealing with fears once in a while. We are afraid for different things. Let's remember this morning on this Transfiguration Sunday, Jesus wants to take your hand. He wants to say, let's get up and let's go. When faced with the overwhelming nature of this vision and revelation of Jesus' glory, Jesus touches his terrified disciples and commands them to rise. Let's get up. Time to go. Time to move on. Back to our mission. We are needed. People want to hear from us. To me, this is one of the most beautiful pictures of this event. Actually, this promise of his presence in the midst of life transitions and fears and many other sad things. And some of you are there this morning, I know. Maybe somebody who is watching this from YouTube and Facebook. You feel that this is you, what we are talking about. So something to take home from this fascinating moment of transfiguration. When Jesus appeared to his disciples with full glory and blessing and power, you wonder, yeah, I see it, Tim, I get it, but how to apply it? What is to take home? What is this to me? This is too big of piece of cake to take a bite. What's for me? Here's what I come up with you, just recommending, considering. I believe Jesus wants us to look beyond the ordinary. Are you with me? Once in a while, he wants us to look beyond the ordinary. Try to find your mountaintop moments. When was it last time you were witnessing something special in your Christian faith. He wants us to recognize the spiritual or divine things happening among us every single day. You see, that's just little things. Come on, who is interested about this? Yes, there are miracles. 2 weeks today. 2 weeks from this day. Not next Sunday, but the following, the first Sunday of March. There will be Berea UMC Miracle Sunday. Miracle Sunday. We are witnessing to Christ's miracles among us. In your life, in my life, in our life. We spell it out, we witness, we are so thankful for many things that we don't want to skip. It's going to be a special Sunday. It won't hurt to have one Sunday for Christ's miracles, am I right? The Bible is full of them, and your life is full of them as well. If you see them, some very great, some smaller maybe, all significant. Miracles, those moments that you surely knew that that is where the heaven touches the earth. When divine touched my life, my struggling life, that was the heaven getting involved. Friends, we need those moments. We need those moments. You need it this morning. And then I believe one more thing for you to consider. I believe Jesus wants us to listen to his voice. We Christians today, our walk is very challenging because there are so many voices, putting it that way. Confusing voices. Voices of wars and struggles and fights and anger. Many, many kinds of voices. It is so easy to get distracted. Jesus wants us to prioritize his teaching over other voices we hear. To give us correction for our direction. Correction. Nothing is more important to us than to learn than to hear his voice. And then finally, maybe this is something for us to consider. Maybe we want to take these mountaintop transfiguration moments, that things we experience through worship and prayer and fellowship, back into our valley experiences. Valley experiences. When we hit the crown, one way or another, when we hit the crown, daily life is crushing, hurting, bringing you right in the middle of pain and struggle. Then we remember his presence. Not just his presence, but his words, if you listen to him. And you feel how he takes your hand, and he says, let's just get it up. Let's get up. Let's go. Let's move forward. Let's go on. Don't be afraid. I am with you. These are the moments, friends, we need as we are walking and following Jesus Christ. Remember, Peter, James and John were never the same after this experience. So is with you and me and with us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship time by the ministry of Kevin. So if the ushers can come forward at this time.